Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very special episode of the Diz Unplugged. I'm Craig Williams. Today, I'm joined by Denny Sunderly.
Hi there.
And we are going to tell you everything you need to know about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser without spoilers. So if you have an upcoming voyage and you want to know nothing about it, or you're interested and just want to hear a little bit more about it without it being spoiled, this is the place for you, because Denny and I have both experienced Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. We were invited by Disney to experience it, so for that reason, this is not a review, and we will not review it, but once it officially opens to guests, we will have members of the Diz team going on board as paying guests, so that way they can give a full review, so look for that later. But in this one, we are only talking about things you need to know. And even before we get to that, I do want to throw out one more disclaimer, just because we had a discussion with Pete Werner, owner of the Diz, and the person who sets our company's policy on reviewing things that Disney gave us for free, like our vacation on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. And we had a conversation with him because the question already started popping up over and over and over again: is it worth it? And obviously, to go into a lot of depth with it would require a review, and that's something we're not going to do. Again, I don't want to just keep going over that over and over and over again. But he said that if we thought we would do it again, if there was a price point that we thought was worthwhile, that we can go ahead and say that. So it's a non-review, but a pretty much hinting at what we think is the value of Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. And for me, I would say about $2,000 if I had to put a price point on it. But what about you, Denny?
I'm right there with you, Craig. Just thinking through the entire experience and trying to just boil it all down, I'd be there at $2,000. I would go up to $2,500. Even I could be coerced, but that's going to be it.
Fully agree. So with that being said, we are going to move on to everything you need to know about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. And I'm going to try to boil this down into two lessons, but then we're going to talk about all these little small details along the way as well, too. But I think there's two very important things to know right off the bat. And the first lesson that we learned through this experience is that story comes first. And immersion into the story comes first. So if you don't want to take part in the story, you're not being forced to, but the story is the most important thing to every single crew member on board. So keep that in mind. Also, lesson number two, you cannot do everything. I know you might think for a price that can be anywhere between $4,800 and $12,000 that you should be able to do every single experience, but it's just not possible. It is not set up in a way to make it possible, and it kind of goes along with story comes first, and immersion into the story is very important. So because of that, you can't do every single thing that is available on the ship, because you might have to choose a side. You might not be in the right place at the right time. Heck, if you want to go and use the bathroom or change shoes or clothes at some point in the time, you might miss out on something incredibly massive to the overall story. It does not stop the entire time at all. It stops when you decide to go to sleep. So maybe from about, I'd say roughly from 11 o'clock at night until, you know, breakfast begins at 7 o'clock, but you don't have to get there right away. But literally when the sun is out through the end of the evening, the story is happening. So you either have to be in it, or you have to accept you're not going to do everything. And that's not always great.
No, it's not. And like you said, if I'm spending that much money, I would think that I would be able to get the entire encompassed story. But it just, like you said, story comes first. It's really, really clear. And the train is leaving the station either with you or without you. And like you said, it keeps on moving and it moves. Not to give any details away, but the story is so intricately woven in just about everything that it, like you said, you could be sitting down for a second, you could be in your cabin for a moment, but because the story is so prominent and preeminent and so thoroughly woven into everything, there can be pockets happening all over the ship. Mm-hmm. And that just, you know, you'll have to come back again.
Yes.
To get all the other pieces and parts.
Yes. And that is the official answer that we were also given by it, that if you do miss anything, yeah, you just have to come back again. So keep that in mind. And so again, story is most important. And what Disney really wants you to know is that the story is so important that it actually begins before you even get there. You do have access to the data pad through the Play Disney Parks app. If you're booked for a Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser vacation, you have that available to you before you actually go on your voyage. And it is an important tool for your entire stay aboard the Halcyon. It will list every single event that you're going to. It will allow you to communicate with some of the crew on the ship. It will give you maps and schematics of everything. It has other tools available to you. It is kind of like an extra appendage that you need to have on you at all times. And, you are going to use your phone for that. So just be aware that using your phone with it will kill your battery very, very quickly. Between that and then also wanting to take photos, videos of your experience, it's going to drain you very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I did hear that they will provide you with a data pad if you are not using your actual personal phone or you don't have one, but they assume that you're going to want to use your phone for it. So that's going to potentially cause issues if you're not prepared to have lots of charging devices. And Denny, I know you have a tip about that as well.
Absolutely. So because I was in the same predicament, like wanting to take videos and pictures, and because there's so much happening at all times, you want to document it all. My battery was just drained and depleted just so, so easily. So if you find yourself in the same situation and you have a fuel rod on board, bring that fuel rod on. And there isn't necessarily a kiosk on board, but if you go to the concierge desk in the atrium and you speak to a member of passenger services, they have a stash supply of fuel rods that are charged and ready, and they'll be your human swap station, swap kiosk for fuel rod. So, and they'll keep doing that if you need it throughout your voyage.
Yes. And you will most likely need it, but seriously, make sure that you have Play Disney Parks on your phone before you head out to the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, because the app itself also too is like 800 megabytes or something like that. It's massive. So you'll probably need to be on Wi-Fi to be able to download it to begin with, but then use it, get comfortable with it, because once you're there, you're going to want to use it. And so now we'll kind of run through, I'm going to say like portions of the experience, just with, again, more things that you need to know. So like when you get to the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, you will be given a special magic band that you are to wear at all points in time. And, you know, it's for Walt Disney World guests, that's not a big deal. So I'm just mentioning it because it is something that's given to you. You don't have to buy it. It's part of the package, and it is your key to everything, because to get on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, you have to scan in like you're going through a turnstile. It is, It is linked to your My Disney Experience. So no guests who aren't on the reservation are getting in. It is directly linked to you. And that also occurs with your excursion to Batuu. You are having to go through an actual turnstile in order to be able to get in and out. So wear your magic band, and don't worry if you lose it. They said they'll give you another one. It's no big deal, just like any Disney resort. But, of course, you're boarding through Earth, and to get up to the Halcyon, you have to take a transport. And I will just say this for people who don't like elevators in enclosed places. I would ask one of the crew members as you are entering and arriving if there are any other options. That also applies with the transport that you have to take when going to Batuu. Mm-hmm. It is windowless. It is kind of cramped, it not only moves as you are heading there, but it also bounces around like a school bus or being in the back of a truck. And so if you get motion sickness very easily, I would implore you to talk to crew members to see if there is another option for you. There is no official option as of this moment if you don't think you can handle it, but they did say they would work their hardest to accommodate you however they can. But again, story is most important to them, so they want you to actually use those modes of transport if at all possible, so you are not out of the story at any point in time.
Yes. But if it is at all possible, use the highly themed transportation options that they provide.
Yeah. The next thing I'll say is make sure you also get there very early. Mm-hmm. We did not get there as early as we wanted to. And like for our experience, and I believe that's the same as how it will be moving forward, because we did have the full experience. We were able to arrive starting at 1 o'clock, and we needed to be there at 4 o'clock when it officially kicks off. And if you arrive early, not only do you have time for the first lunch buffet that's available, you also will have time to take a tour of the Halcyon with one of the crew members, who will not only guide you around, but also give you tips about what some of the different things to look for are. Not necessarily Star Wars Easter eggs per se, but Easter eggs for the Halcyon and why they're so important and why they're worth noticing. And yeah, if you do that, you will have a better feel walking into the ship than other people immediately have.
For sure. And you mentioned when you were talking about downloading the Play Disney Parks app ahead of time, you mentioned just the schematics of the ship itself. I highly recommend that you definitely take time and just kind of just take a moment to pore over those deck plans, because the more that you understand how to navigate the ship before you step onto the ship, the easier things will be for you once you're in the middle of a story.
Yeah. The nice part is most of the action is going to happen in the atrium. That is kind of your hub for all of the happenings. And then sometimes you might be told to go to different locations, or there will be communications that come through your data pad that tell you where to go. But for the most part, if you want to try to be in as many stories as possible, then you're going to want to hang out in the atrium. But it literally is the hub, so it is impossible to kind of avoid it, except during meals or if you're in missions or some of the big events that happen, like the bridge ops training that everyone has and the lightsaber training that mm-hmm. everyone has. And that's a good place to note, too. When you look at the event list and, like, you know, Disney released the sample itinerary way, way, way back when, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And a lot of people lost their mind over how many things were on the sample itinerary, but then also, like, unexpected story moments. And I would say lose that from your mind as quickly as possible. There are key story moments in your events panel, in your data pad, that are in yellow gold that you don't want to miss. And everything else I would consider optional. Mm-hmm. And I would actually say those are what pull you away from being in the different unexpected story moments. And you might still find your way into some of them, but they could also pull you out too. It's more of just like, hey, you don't want to really get involved in the story. This is a nice little side thing for you to do mm-hmm. instead of just sit in the sublight lounge and drink the day away, but
drink the entire voyage.
Yeah. But it is flexible, but that original sample itinerary, I don't believe that was a good depiction of what the actual experience is on the Galactic Star Cruiser. So do not go by that at all. It's, mm-hmm. it is nice that they tell you in gold in those events that these are the big moments. And if you get involved in a story and it is also a big one and it's critical to the overall story of the voyage, that one will also show up in gold. Even if mm-hmm. it's not in your itinerary from the start, if you complete missions along the way, it could show up. So, yeah, just keep an eye, again, on the data pad and realize that the story and the immersion always comes first.
Yeah, I will say, I think one thing that the sample itinerary did kind of get right, or at least show us, is the fast pace in which things will happen, and that the day is really packed. Mm-hmm. So if you do want to make an attempt to be as immersed in the story as possible, you will be absolutely moving and grooving the entire day.
Yes. So let's talk about the cabins real quick. And I don't have a lot necessarily to say to prepare you before you go, but the one thing that was a big question for me was, who is the demographic and who's the audience for the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser? And I think families actually are going to be a big audience. And I noticed in our room, and after asking other friends what their rooms were like, the one thing became apparent is that there are no bathtubs on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. So if you do have children who only want to take baths and won't take showers, be prepared for them to go a couple days without actually bathing, because all there is showers. And I that's not necessarily a complaint. It's just a statement of that's where it is.
Well, and it's good to know, because there are going to be guests of all ages who prefer a bath over a shower, or maybe, I don't know, if there's certain just aversions or mobility issues, whatever it might be, it's good to know ahead of time, hey, you're going to have a shower. It's spacious. It seemed, I mean, as I was standing there, it didn't look, you know, too teeny tiny. But not having a bathtub is really good to know. So, like, you're either going to have stinky kids running around the ship, or just get your kid used to a shower before your big vacation.
Yep. I agree with that. And in terms of the storage in the room, there is plenty of storage. I was surprised how much storage there was. So don't worry about that. In terms of the bed situations, I know some rooms have, some of the cabins have technically 5 sleeping places, including a main bed that's queen sized, then the 2 bunk beds, and then a pull down in front of the TV. But the cabin that we were in only had the bunk beds and then the main bed, and not an extra one, which, I mean, I guess that all depends on how many people are in your party, what room you actually get. That was just what happened to us. I will say for the main queen bed, I'm a 6'3" male, and I had my feet right at the edge of the bed with I sleep. So I would say once you're over about maybe 6'6" to 6'7", it's going to start becoming an issue, but that's probably a lot of hotels in your life. So, you know, that's something you've had to deal with for a long time, I'm guessing. And then for the bunk beds, I would say if you are somewhere in the 6'4" to 6'5" range, you can actually still fit, not comfortably, but you still can.
You can't move, but you can fit in there. You can squeeze yourself in.
Exactly. It's 6'3". My head was not touching the end wall, but my feet were touching the other end. But, you know, if I curled up, then I was fine in there. So they were surprisingly larger than I expected. And I know there's a lot of talk from people out there, not necessarily families are going, but, you know, people who are younger who necessarily can't afford the experience and are splitting these cabins between friends. You can be an adult and easily still get in the bunk beds. So don't worry about that. One of the other things, too, is that you do not have windows in the cabins. You just have the viewports where you're looking out into space, which is a neat function. And you have the option to close it at night. And that's a good thing because just like in the Star Wars movies and such, these views out into space aren't just like a simple window out into space. They also have special lighting and effects that do not turn off. So if you wanted to try to sleep with it on, you are basically sleeping with a giant light bulb on, and it would make it very difficult. I think that's a design problem with the room, personally. I think it would be cool to sleep with the window open, but that's not really an option unless you can sleep through the entire middle of the day and light doesn't bother you. The TV in the room, I will say, it does have some on-demand viewing. You can watch normal TV if you don't want to keep yourself immersed in Star Wars 24/7. So there's no worries about that as well. And there's lots of chargers in the room. And by chargers, I mean outlets? USB ports. There are lots of them. So that's not going to be a concern for anyone out there.
Good. Yeah. I, not to review it, but, you know, if you've seen the pictures that, Disney has put out ahead of time, you know what this standard room is going to look like. And I agree that it would be great. Like, who wouldn't want to sleep with that viewport on in the middle, you know, during the night? I would want that happening. Like, I'm the, you know, the lady who goes to Walt Disney World resorts and wants to sleep with the curtains open and see the sun, because you're on vacation. That's just like a vacation thing. So it would be great if that was a possibility.
Yeah, absolutely would. So in terms of the dining now, the main place you are going to dine the entire time is the Crown of Corellia dining room on deck 4. And the meals you'll have in there are a lunch buffet, and then you will have a family style dinner that is entitled An Evening with Gaia, the main performer who will sing to you for 40 minutes. Give or take. You will then, the next day, you'll have a breakfast buffet in the morning. There is an optional lunch buffet. And then you also have dinner, again, served family style. And then on the morning that you depart, there will once again be a breakfast buffet. And if you don't like a big breakfast and you want something more for on the go. In the Sublight Lounge, they will have grab and go options, fruit, and then like a little pastry box with some yogurt in it, saying, you know, for people who like lighter fare. And when I mentioned that the lunch on the second day is optional, that's because you also can have lunch while you are on your excursion in Batu. They give you a free meal at Docking Bay 7. Our mentality with it was we can go eat at Docking Bay 7 anytime we want as locals. And I'm sure a lot of people who are also vacationing are also going to go to the theme parks after the Star Cruiser, who will also have the option to eat at Docking Bay 7. I would recommend eating as many meals on the Halcyon as possible. Yes. Breakfast and lunch were very interesting in their choices. It was food with very, very interesting choices in terms of textures, in terms of substance. It actually felt like eating at Docking Bay 7 or, you know, one of Disney's better quick service meals on property. So it seems adventurous, but it's normal flavors that you would pick up on as soon as you eat it. But looking at it, you might be like, what is that exactly?
They're using all of the senses, right? You look at something, it might be blue, or it might be just a different shape or a different form than what you're used to. But as soon as you bite into it, you go, oh yeah, okay, this is something that I eat all the time. This is something familiar and comforting. And for children who are going to be on that voyage, that's important. Like all of us, we've got our favorites, whether you're, you know, an adult or a child, but it's good to know that while it may look different, it's still going to taste very familiar to something that you know.
And so kind of going alongside the dining route too, you don't get alcohol included in your voyage on Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. Non-alcoholic beverages are available to you. And when you go to like the breakfast buffet, you have a full lineup of drinks. You have green milk and blue milk on tap. So if you're a fan of those, you can have as much as you want. You have Coca-Cola products, then you have coffee and tea, like a normal Walt Disney World hotel, minus again the green and blue milk. And those options are available for you at lunch and dinner. In the atrium, there is a basically on tap water system, so you can always get water any time of day. And it has sparkling water, chilled water, and then room temperature water for you for all your water choices. Inside the Sublight Lounge, you can get non-alcoholic drinks as long as it's open. And then, of course, at dinner, you can have your non-alcoholic drinks with your meal. And also espressos and lattes, cappuccinos are included as well with it, something we did take advantage of. But I will say, after everything shut down for the night, the only option you have to get drinks afterwards is that on tap water system. But Denny, I believe there is an option if you're a soda fiend and you want something after hours. I think there's still an option for you, right?
I don't know where you're going here because I don't know.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, tell me.
I do have the answer then. So oh my gosh. If you go to that same guest services area in the atrium, they will have some canned beverages available to you. If you really, really want it, they'll be able to help you out with that. And during the day in that same guest services area, they also do have a snack bar that's set up with prepackaged snacks and popcorn and just lighter fare.
Well, and I will say that it was midway through the afternoon of day two. I just needed a cup of coffee. I just a cup of coffee and I needed to sit down. I had a little work I had to do. Or was that first day? Maybe it was the first day. Oh, it's all a blur. So I sat down and I went over to the concierge desk that you're talking about with the snacks and the where you're saying you can get the after hour sodas. And I spoke to a wonderful passenger services member who said, absolutely, let me get that for you. Just have a seat. And so I picked a nice squishy seat near a charger and plugged in. And he brought out this lovely cup of coffee, would have gotten me more, all the sugar I wanted. And I just sat there. And of course, as I sat there, a story started unfolding next to me about 4 feet away. And so I had like the prime seat for what was going on, which was neat because it was between a couple of the characters. So if you absolutely have to have a little something at an off time, those passenger services crew members can make a little magic for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with the bar, the Sublight Lounge, that is open pretty much the entire day and into the late night. The first night of the voyage, the last call for food is at midnight and last call for drinks is at 1 o'clock. And then on the second night of the voyage, it is last call for food at 1 o'clock with last call being 2 o'clock. And there is free food in here as well, too. And it is bar snacks. So keep that in mind. It's if you didn't eat enough at dinner, it would definitely fill you up before you want to go to bed. But something that I didn't expect it to be there, and it was. So that was surprising because it's a bar. I really, all things considered, since this is comparable to like a cruise, I just figured there'd only be drinks available and maybe a snack mix, but there was more. And the drinks do range in a variety of prices. I think, you know, they do have two non-alcoholic options that I believe were like $7 and $8. And then there's wine on tap, all the beers that you can get in Galaxy's Edge, you can also find here. Those are like $13. The cocktails range basically from about $15 all the way through to one is $23. So actually, you know, all things considered, it's just starting to border with the $23 on like the Beauty and the Beast bar at Grand Floridian.
Enchanted Rose.
It's just starting to get there at that point, but not quite as much. And for people like me who like to collect souvenir glasses, you know, I like a good Trader Sam's mug. There are two special glasses in the Sublight Lounge. They are not nearly as themed as you would expect, but keep in mind that if you are a completionist with souvenirs like that, then you will probably want to have your eye on that. And don't worry, they'll make sure that you know that they exist. And speaking of merchandise, there are two main shopping opportunities for you, not counting Batuu, because, you know, there's obviously lots of shopping experiences on Batuu. You can schedule, I believe, up to 60 days before your Star Cruiser voyage. You can book Savvies if you want to build a lightsaber. You can book the Droid Depot. Once you're there, you can do all the normal shopping experiences in the marketplace and such. But on board the Halcyon, they do have one main shopping location. And if you didn't buy your robes and different gear online ahead of time through Shop Disney, don't worry, you'll be able to get them there. Plus other things that are specifically marked for the Halcyon and Chandrila Starline.
Yes, everything that you'll find in the Chandrila Collection shop is going to be exclusive to the Star Cruiser. So if you see it and you like it, get it, because you're not going to see it after you depart.
Yep. And the prices, you know, of the clothes, you can see them online. I believe they range from about $50 through some of the more extravagant robes are around $150, I think, when it's all said and done. And then, of course, there's more than just what's available online ahead of time. There's things that you can only get there that still kind of fit the entire style of being on the Star Cruiser. I guess Denny is kind of wearing a spoiler towards one of them that I didn't pick up before, but I'm also wearing a spoiler.
Yes, in terms you of are.
Merchandise too. So just ignore these ones. But as Denny did say, if you see it, get it, because unless they decide to send this stuff to the outlets one day, it's only going to be available here. And I know the same thing was said in Galaxy's Edge with their merchandise and Pandora, the World of Avatar, that you won't get it outside. But considering the uniqueness of this experience, I can't imagine that they will release mm-hmm. this stuff outside of the Galactic Star Cruiser when it's all said and done. So if you see it and you want it, pick it up. If you're a Disney Vacation Club member or an annual pass holder, there is your normal discount available to you on everything except, I believe, the special lightsaber that is available. And of course, that's not a spoiler. It's probably something good to know, something that I wish I would have known going on, because I would have saved a little bit extra money. Because when you're told, you know, oh, there's this exclusive item that you can only get now, and if you never come back, then you'll never have a chance to get it again, you kind of have to jump on those options. And so there's a lot of people scooping things up just with the knowledge that maybe you won't ever get back.
Yeah. I mean, just the idea that this could be, I mean, we talk about Walt Disney World trips for, you know, families, or Disney Cruise Line trips for families, being once in a lifetime. This truly, like, standing there in the shop going, oh my stars, this is once in a lifetime. If I like it, I should get it. So yeah, it's just good to know.
The other shopping opportunity was a surprise to us, but it happens at the very end of your voyage. As you are leaving, the same porte-cochere place that you came in will magically have a gift shop available to you. And at that gift shop, you will not necessarily find items marked Halcyon, but you will find items about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. So if you want to tell someone, hey, I was on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, but you didn't want to say, oh, I was on the Halcyon in the Chandrila Starline ship, then this is the way that you can promote the fact that you did the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, which that was a big question that I had the entire time in the main gift shop, was where is anything marked Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser? But it makes sense when it's all said and done. It's part of the story. Right. Why would they sell that on there? They wouldn't. They would sell it at the port, which that's essentially where you enter and leave. So yep, in the grand scheme of the story, it makes sense.
It does. And you always got to leave through a gift shop, don't you? Mm-hmm. And there it is. And everything, you know, and you won't see, I was told, everything there at that little, it looks pop up, but it's just behind a garage door. And it just miraculously appears on that last super nostalgic morning. And it's, you know, it nothing that's there will be found on board, and vice versa.
Yep. That is something to keep in mind. If you spend a lot of money on board, you might end up spending more once you also get off board. And so that's going to kind of lead us into the next part of this conversation, something we should have started from the beginning, talking again about transportation. I know it's been kind of set in stone for a little bit, but just want to reiterate stuff. If you are coming directly from the airport, they will drop you off at the Star Cruiser if you're using like the Mir shuttle or any other shuttle. They're happy to drop you off there. If you are using a ride service, they are happy to drop you off there. And if you're coming from a different Disney hotel, they unfortunately are not happy to drop you off. They will transfer your luggage and all of your stuff for you, but you will not get a bus directly from the Grand Floridian over to the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. Unfortunately, your option is using a rideshare, using your car that you might rent or have with you, or you can head to Disney Springs and grab a bus that will then take you to the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser.
Yes. And if you get to the Star Cruiser, and you're not ready to board just yet, they will also offer a shuttle for you to go spend your time at Disney Springs. And that shuttle will be available when you're ready to stop your Disney Springs visit and to head to the Star Cruiser every 15 to 20 minutes. Yeah.
And they do take care of your luggage for you. It is a built-in valet service, just like if you drive up in a car, it is a complete valet service. Self-parking is not an option. Valet is automatically included right away. They will take the luggage right out of your car and make sure it makes it onto the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, the Halcyon, just like they would at a cruise port. You know, it's the exact same kind of feel as that. And that being said, because it is valet, make sure that you have money for tips, because that they are in a tipping role in that position. So you're going to want to make sure that you have money for that. And that's not the only tips that you will want to give throughout your voyage on the Halcyon as well, too. Right, Denny?
That's right. We asked about tipping our server, because, of course, frame of reference, it's a cruise, right? And so on, say, DCL, you have an opportunity at the end of the week to tip your server. And when I inquired about that, I was told that they weren't exactly sure if they were going to do envelopes. Of course, we clarified that yesterday with a representative who said, actually, those gratuities are already built in to your voyage fare. That being said, there is a way to tip your server above and beyond what they will receive normally if you so choose. And we did, because our server was fantastic, beyond fantastic. And that's not a review. That's just stating facts. She was great. And we decided to go ahead and do that. They will open a bill for you that night and make a way for you to be able to do so.
And then in the Sublight Lounge, I have experience with this. There is an automatic 18% gratuity added every single time you buy something. And you have the option to tip more as well, too, if you want. But it is an automatic 18% that is added on there right away. So, Denny, we've covered a lot. We've covered the cabins. We've covered dining, shopping. Going back, I guess we should have mentioned it as we talked about the transport to Batu. And then also in terms of like shopping and things in Batu, we did cover it in that way. But going back to the story once again, if you want to take part in the story, you absolutely have to go to Batu. There is no way around that. So already plan that in your entire itinerary. And I know a lot of people are probably thinking to themselves, hey, again, I'm going on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. I'm spending a lot of money. I want to soak up every moment on the Halcyon that I can. And that is okay. You can do that. But if you want to take place in the story, you have to go to Batu and Black Spire Outpost, because you will have missions that are also taking place there too. So I know you want to spend all your time on the Halcyon, but if you want to be part of the bigger story, it's just necessary.
It is. And then when those big story moments, the main story moments that are in that goldish orange color on your itinerary pop up on your data pad, you'll know sitting in that, you'll understand sitting in that moment or standing there listening to what's going on. You'll understand with greater scope exactly why you did what you did on Batu, or what in the world is happening in front of you. You'll get it because you'll be part of it, because you will have completed those missions.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there anything else that we missed, Denny?
I am trying to think. I'm mentally thinking through the article that I've been writing today, and we've touched on a lot of what I've also got going on in that article. It was the valet gratuity that was a big deal. there is so much to talk about. There's so much to see and to do. And I know we always say it with Walt Disney World vacations, you can't do it all. Like, you just can't. And so it's good to have that frame of mind when you go to Walt Disney World. It kind of, you know, it used to help me enjoy it a little bit more, knowing it's okay. It's a little, I feel like a little less okay, possibly, with the Star Cruiser, because you want to be able to do it all, but it is what it is. So if you kind of go in with that frame of reference, knowing, okay, so I can't do it all, you'll kind of be able to cull it down a little bit to doing what's most important to you. And I think you got the big ones there, Craig.
Yeah, I definitely think that we have most of it covered. And of course, we're always able to answer any questions after this as well, too. If you're watching it on YouTube, you can always leave comments in the YouTube comment section. You can always reach out to us on social media if you're just a listener, and get to us in that way so we can answer more questions. But you're absolutely right. Again, I know we've already said it over and over, but you're not going to be able to do everything. But that being said, keep in mind that the experience is what you want to make it. If you don't have to dress up and be a character yourself, but if you do it, you will inevitably get more out of it. If you're an introvert and you're a little bit nervous talking to other people and you're more socially awkward, you know, you can still go through the experience. But if you can find a way to become an extrovert for just that little bit while you're in this story, it will take you further. But again, you don't have to. No one's forcing you to. But to get the most out of the experience, that's a requirement. And the last thing, actually, because I thought of it too, is that, you know, these big story moments, a lot of them do play out in the atrium. And I would just say, with the ones that are marked as important in your itinerary, try to get there as early as possible, because space will get tight. Unless your voyage is half full or less, then maybe it'll be a lot nicer. But on a full voyage like ours, it got very cramped very quickly. And the more center you are in terms of being in the atrium, the better overall view that you'll have. But if you get too, stuff happens on a second floor as well as the main floor. And if you are shorter, you are going to miss a lot. That's just a stated fact. You might be able to see the stuff up on the second floor, but if you are basically like a foot away from the balcony overhang, then it's still all blocked. So if you can get to places earlier, you have a better chance at having a better view at all the big things that are going to happen. And big things will happen.
They will. And I look forward to seeing your footage, Craig, because I know that there are some things that happened on that main floor that I, being all of 5'2.5", could not see. I did the best I could, and, you know, could see everything on the second floor. That was okay. But in these main story moments, that is a moment at which they are literally emptying the entire ship into the atrium. They are inviting everyone at that time. And so, yes, get there a hair early if you can.
So now I think that's going to wrap things up for us. Again, if you have any other questions, please feel free to ask through the YouTube comments or reach out to us on social media. We will be more than happy to answer them. And if you decide you want spoilers, there will be a vlog up of our entire experience. I mean, not every second of it. I would have loved to have released a 50-hour video, but just not possible. But it will be very long, and it will go into a lot of it without us actually reviewing, just showing what it was like being there. And, you know, most of it is from behind the camera. So you can act like you're living through me vicariously and seeing the things that I was seeing. And that's kind of how, how it's all playing out. If you want spoilers, if not, I hope that this was helpful to you in helping you plan what to expect on your Galactic Star Cruiser vacation. And if, you know, if you were on the fence or you thought maybe, no, this isn't for me, I hope that this may have helped you reach a decision in one way or another. I hope we are giving you enough options so that way you know what to do when it comes to the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. But I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen and watch this. I want to thank Disney again for inviting us to actually be able to experience it and get this firsthand look. And again, if you want a full unbiased review of the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, look for Rhino and Fiasco's material and content that they will release. I believe after March 3rd is when they will be back from their voyage on the Galactic Star Cruiser. So look for it sometime after that. But I also, again, want to also say thank you to Denny for not only helping me cover the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, but sitting here and helping me try to convey the best information that you need to know.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be a part of it, Craig. It was an honor to get to help cover it.
Yes, thank you. So I hope you enjoyed this, and we'll see you again real soon to talk more about Walt Disney World, Star Wars, and beyond. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.